Hey there, and welcome to Not Your Average Counsellor, the podcast that's here to shake up your perspective on life, love, relationships, and everything in between. I am your host, V. Vinci, and let me tell you, I am not your run-of-the-mill counsellor, and I'm on a mission to help you uncover the key to unlocking your fullest potential. You see, I've been around the block a few times, and I've probably gathered more life experience than four therapists put together. From battling a brain tumour, to divorce, marriage, grief, parenthood, and supporting my son come out the other side of a life-threatening illness, I've been through it all and then some. So I get my clients, I understand their pain, hurt, and challenges on a very deep level. But what truly sets me apart is my approach. I'm all about keeping it real, keeping it simple, and keeping it effective. Because complexity, well, that's the enemy of progress, and that's why I'm a firm believer in the KISS principle. Because let's face it, life is complicated enough already. This podcast is your passport to a more rewarding and simpler perspective on life. My aim is to help you understand the why that drives your thoughts and actions to create change, embrace growth, and create the life you truly want. So sit back, relax, and buckle up for some truth bombs, laughter, and a whole lot of inspiration. Let's dive in. Not Your Average Counsellor is rated PG. Parental guidance is definitely recommended. Welcome back to season two of Not Your Average Counsellor, where this time around we will be focusing on the wild world of relationships. Today we are diving into the epic battles of household chores in a segment I like to call Chore Wars. And we are heading to the front lines where dirty laundry and dishes become battlegrounds for couples across the globe. Now, household chores might seem like mundane tasks, but they can quickly escalate into significant sources of stress in relationships. From heated debates on who will take out the rubbish to the dreaded task of cleaning the toilet bowl properly, these seemingly small issues can become triggers for conflict. So in this exploration of household chores, we're going to journey through the trenches of domestic duties armed with a little bit of humour, some therapy models and practical strategies for maintaining harmony amidst the chaos. But first, let's set the stage by discussing the common triggers for chore-related conflicts. So picture this. You come home after a long day at work, hoping to relax, only to find a sink full of dishes waiting for you. Your partner promised to take care of them, but they got busy with other things and sounds familiar. The chore battlefront is it a metaphorical representation of the arena where common household chores become the focal point of conflicts between couples. These conflicts often arise due to a variety of triggers, which may seem small or insignificant on the surface, but can escalate into significant sources of relationship stress. To illustrate these points, let me share a humorous anecdote from a couple I have worked with. Let's call them Jack and Jill. Jill is a self-proclaimed neat freak and can't stand the sight of clutter. Meanwhile, Jack had a much more relaxed approach to household chores and stuff in general. Their differences in cleanliness standards often led to arguments, with Jill feeling overwhelmed and Jack feeling criticised. Through counselling, they learned to communicate openly about their expectations and compromise on a chore system that worked for both of them. Now, whilst a couple doesn't necessarily call up and say, we need a session because of chore wars, it plays a major role in the build-up of resentment and contributes to the dynamic at play in the relationship. So there are a lot of common culprits I see, and I'm sure you will have a list of your own things that quite frankly piss you off. But, and I am actually talking both about men and women here, but let's be honest, women have the biggest book on these types of things, and I can tell you that I have a bloody book of them as well. Now, I am not going to list all the culprits here, because this is a big problem with couples and a misconception of couples therapy. I am not here to hold a session about all your criticisms of each other. Coming to see me, or any couples therapist for that matter, to list every criticism in every session about the same shit is simply wasting your money. Call up a girlfriend or meet a mate at the pub who will listen to you complain about what your partner did or did not do. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't listen or know what the issues are. But what I won't do is hold a session of complaints. I often get you to do a homework task that totally allows you to seriously write that book out in your own time. Give me every complaint, every little thing that pisses you off. What I then do is basically group the criticisms into themes, because this will be your way forward. Chore wars is literally a version of the who's right, who's wrong game. There are no winners. So helping you put down your guns is the role of a therapist. Now, here are some common themes for chore-related conflicts and why they can lead to heightened tension. So, number one, fairness. One of the primary triggers for chore-related conflicts is when someone feels like they're doing more than their fair share. It's like a recipe for trouble when one partner feels like they're stuck with most of the chores, causing some serious frustration. Number two, expectations versus reality. You know how everyone has their own idea of how things should be done around the house. Well, then those ideas clash and it can lead to some major disappointment and frustration, especially if expectations have not been talked about beforehand. You know, you really have to think about these guys as they're coming out, because what happens is that people come in and they're saying that he doesn't do this properly and they focus on the chore. But what's underneath the chore is the expectation that hasn't been verbalized. Number three, communication breakdown. Not talking about chores can really mess things up. If you don't let each other know what you need or what bugs you, it's easy to step on each other's toes and trigger conflict. Now, I can imagine that you would relate to the couple who rings me and says, "We don't know how to communicate." And I go, "Well, you do, because you're talking. What aren't you communicating about?" Very few couples talk about chores until it becomes a bloody issue. Number four, emotional baggage. Sometimes conflicts about chores aren't really about putting the toilet seat down or wiping the bloody kitchen bench. They're about feeling unappreciated or like your efforts aren't valued. That kind of stuff can bring up a lot of tension in a relationship. Number five is power dynamics. Now, this is when one person feels like they're calling all the shots and harboring all the responsibility. It can cause some serious tension and resentment, especially when it comes to who's doing what around the house. Number six is a little bit more complex. This is one we would call triggered memories. So certain chores can bring up a whole lot of emotional baggage from the past. Maybe someone had a rough time with chores growing up, or they got some not so great memories from previous relationships. That stuff can really affect how they feel about chores now. Basically, even though chores might not seem like a big deal, the feelings and stuff behind them can seriously affect the well-being of a relationship. Now, here's the thing. Couples therapy deals with both tactical and emotional stuff. While therapy tackles the emotional stuff I've just discussed, shit still needs to get done. So helping with the tactical component is something I am very much a part of. In fact, it is here that I often find people saying that it makes a difference for them. Because what I often hear is that I am not the first therapist a couple has visited. This is both good and not good. It saddens me that they have not found the help they needed, but I am glad that they did not stop at one. A therapist is something that you should shop around for. You need to approach it the same way you would a car. Do some research or do a session and see how it fits. The key to therapy is not the modality itself, but the ability to develop a trusting relationship with the therapist. Across all delivery models, whether it be in person, online, short or long, the therapeutic relationship holds the remedy itself. Now, back to our tactics. And this ties in nicely with my next point, the chore negotiation game. Negotiating chore responsibilities can feel like navigating a minefield, but it doesn't have to be that way. Rather than resorting to passive-aggressive tactics or ultimatums, sit down with your partner and have an open, honest conversation about your needs and expectations. Maybe you prefer a weekly chore chart while your partner prefers a more flexible approach. Either way, by discussing your preferences and finding common ground, you can create a chore system that reduces conflict and promotes harmony in your home. The key is compromise, setting clear expectations, and finding a system that works for both of you. Now, here are some tips on where to start. Number one, start by having an open and honest conversation about chore responsibilities. Each partner should have the opportunity to express their preferences, concerns, and boundaries regarding household tasks. This communication should be ongoing and flexible to accommodate changes in circumstances or preferences. The earlier you do this in a relationship, the better. Because when this is not done, I often see unspoken expectations happen. One person takes on something and then can feel a responsibility or an obligation to continue, and the other person thinks, oh, well, they're doing it, they must want to do it. There's no communication in that. Number two, identify strengths and preferences. Now, take the time to identify each partner's strength and preference and dislikes when it comes to household chores. Some tasks may be more enjoyable or manageable for one partner than the other. So it's important to take these factors into account. You know, one of the complaints I hear is that my partner never organizes anything social for us. Honestly, if I waited for my hubby to organize social stuff, then we would never go out. Not because he doesn't want to, but because honestly, I am so much better at the social coordination side of things. I can pull that shit together in about 5 minutes. Sometimes it's as simple as I'm thinking of calling Danny and see if they want to catch up. And then I do it. What I don't do with him is the back and forth of, what do you want? What do you think? Should I call them or not? Seriously, sometimes, well, something I actually find interesting, and ask this of yourself. I don't find the back and forth thing as difficult if I'm doing it with a friend. As opposed to if I was doing it with my hubby. If I was doing this back and forth stupidity with my husband, I would get super annoyed at him. I would be like, oh, for God's sake, can't you make a bloody decision? When me and my girlfriend do that, it's like, oh yeah, okay, we can have that little conversation and we make a decision. We don't just go, oh, this is what's getting done. We have a bit of a discussion and we go, right, this is what we think might be good. Are you guys in or out? And quite honestly, sometimes it's that, because just because my husband doesn't want to do it doesn't mean that I don't. And we just negotiate what we want to do in between. Now, be aware of what ticks you off and then adapt it to something preferable to you. That chore, if I go back to that chore, you know what? I actually love washing. I know that sounds ridiculous. I love seeing dirty washing going into the washing machine and come out clean, and I don't even mind hanging it up. What I refuse to do is take it off the line, fold it, and iron the bloody thing. I don't like it. But guess what? Everybody else doesn't mind that. My daughter actually loves folding the washing. We found a way to make it work for us. So, goes nicely into number three, compromise. This is the key to finding a system that works for both partners. Honestly, it's almost impossible for each partner to have an equal share of every bloody chore. But by negotiating and compromising, couples can find a balance that feels fair and manageable. Number four, set clear expectations. Clearly define each partner's responsibilities and expectations regarding the household chores. This includes specifying which tasks need to be done, how often they should be completed, and any specific guidelines or preferences for completing them. Clear expectations help prevent misunderstandings and reduce the likelihood of conflict. Now, for every neat Nick that's listening to that, nodding their head going, yes, that's exactly what I think. He just never listens to the way I tell him to do this. I want you to listen very closely to number 5, flexibility and adaptability. Recognize that responsibilities may need to evolve over time to accommodate changes in schedules, priorities, or circumstances. Not everybody is going to do things exactly the way you want them. This is part of the negotiation and compromise. What are you prepared to not live with, and where are you prepared to give a bit of a break? Now, stay open to renegotiating and adjusting the tasks as needed to ensure that both parties feel satisfied with the dividing up of what needs to be done. Number 6, implement a chore chart or schedule, just like in kindy. Now, consider creating a chore chart or schedule because it helps track those tasks. This can be a visual reminder of each partner's responsibility and can help ensure that tasks are completed in a timely manner. Honestly, we have so many things to remember in life. You cannot remember everything, especially if you're both busy. And that's what I know from chore wars, is often it's a war about who's the busiest or who's the most tired. The answer to that is you both are. Because if you are both struggling with maintaining the balance of work and life, then this is where that war starts. The chore chart can help really have reminders for everyone. So be sure to revisit and revise the chore chart as needed to reflect changes in circumstances or preferences. Now, I've been recommending a really good app for couples and families recently that has been helping, particularly those relationships or families dealing with a partner or a child with ADD or ADHD. Structured is an app that provides a written reminder in your calendar. Now, for those of us that can easily follow prompt instructions, that's great. However, where Structured is a cut above is in its ability to also provide visual prompts. So get this. I worked with a couple who literally did come in for chore wars. But when we got down to the nitty-gritty, it wasn't that the chore was being ignored. In this case, it really was being forgotten as a result of issues with memory and ADHD. Most reminders work on popping up and then disappearing. Well, that's what mine does anyway. I am really good at seeing that reminder pop up and acting on it almost immediately. This guy wasn't, and so Structured came in with a solution for him, because not only did the visual not disappear until it had been marked as done, it was a visual of what needed to be done. So if he had to put the washing on, it was a washing machine. If he had to do the vacuuming, it was a vacuum picture that popped up. This is for those people who actually are dealing with ADD or ADHD in their family. You will totally understand what I'm getting on with here, because that visual picture prompt is something that helps with the ADD brain. I love the ADD brain. It's very out of the box and it's amazing, but we need to treat it not like it is different, but simply like it needs to have something different to help it move in the way that society wants it to move sometimes. So he was totally invested in wanting to make the changes in his relationship, and so he jumped on board with that app, and it has been great for them. They even got the kids on board and doled out some responsibilities because Structured works for the family. Find something that works for you. I will put some more info about the Structured app in the show notes, so you'll be able to have a look at it. And, you know, just a heads up, I'm not an affiliate with Structured, so I ain't getting nothing if you sign up. I just know that it has been successful with the clients I've been working with at the moment. Number 7, acknowledge and appreciate efforts. Simple, sounds simple, But I can be guilty of this one. My husband will often do something and he's all, you know, oh, I did this today. And I've had to stop myself from saying, really, you didn't make a vaccine to save the bloody world. I have to say, thanks, hun. It was really helpful. Now, it can all, expressing gratitude and acknowledging it for this, for women in particular, I think, it can feel like a chore itself. But expressing gratitude and recognition for the work that each partner contributes helps foster a sense of mutual respect and teamwork within the relationship. Take a moment to acknowledge your partner's contributions, whether it's folding the laundry or cooking the dinner. This values each other's effort. You create a positive atmosphere where a chore becomes less of a battleground and more of a shared responsibility. So this needs to work both ways. I think that sometimes men are actually better at this, but women get resentful that they think, oh, what, you've done one chore and now you want to be, thanked. But that's how we foster gratitude and that's mutual respect. So I think it's a really important one to acknowledge. Lastly, let's explore the option of outsourcing and delegation. As busy couples, it's okay to seek help with certain tasks or delegate responsibilities to lighten the load. Whether it's hiring a cleaning service or assigning specific tasks to each partner or even your kids, outsourcing can make chore management more manageable and frees up time for quality moments together as a couple in a family. If you can make it work financially, then do it. Now, a word of warning here. This is an area I see go very pear-shaped. So here is a tip on what not to do. So, example. Hun, I'm finding it really tough to do all the ironing and quite honestly, I freaking hate ironing. So I'm thinking about getting someone to do our ironing for us. Response. Why? What do you do all day? Warning, warning, you are in the danger zone. Go back to tip number one, open communication. Be open. If your partner is honest with you on both counts, maybe try this. Really? Okay, let's figure out if we can make those numbers work. Now, I totally get that sometimes the numbers won't work. But being open and considerate together goes a long way to working through the conflict without the war. I have a little saying for my hubby. Hopefully he's listening. You can be a lazy ass or you can be a tight ass. You're not allowed to be both. I don't care which one you pick, but pick one and one only. That means I got the ironing lady because nobody wanted to do it. So we went, great, let's do that. And you know what? I wasn't even an ironing lady. All I do is take his shirts to the dry cleaner every week. Cost me $17.50. Best $17 of my life. Now, before we wrap up, I want to hear from you guys. I want you to share your own experiences with chore-related challenges or funny anecdotes from your relationship. Send us a DM or tag us on social media and we'll reshare your stories with the community anonymously, of course. I also want to hear from you in this series about what you would like to hear. So get on board and start sending me topics. I know there are a ton of you who listen because I often get responses to the emails that get sent attaching the podcast and I fucking love them. So that, my friends, is a wrap for today's episode of Not Your Average Counselor. I hope you have gained some valuable insights into managing household chores and maintaining harmony in your relationship. Remember, it is all about communication, compromise, and appreciation. Until next time, take care and keep those jocks off the floor. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate and review this show. Your feedback goes a long way in assisting others to discover this info. So help me continue to help more people by providing your input. And while you're at it, don't stop there. Share this podcast with your friends, family, and on your social media. Don't forget to tag me at @vvincytherapist. Also, I love hearing your feedback and takeaways, so DM me. My inbox is always open. Thanks again. Have a good one.